Amen. Yolanda, will you come up and share with us what, if you would? So yesterday we had an amazing time together, just of celebration. But I, you know what, she shared with me something, and it really fits into what I'm talking about. So I want her just to share with you.
Hi, good morning. I just want to thank Pastor Drew and the whole the staff and the volunteers that were here yesterday. You guys did an awesome job. I don't know if you guys all know our father, my sister, Georgie's grandfather, passed away October 2nd. And my dad was a man of God. He lost his vision like in 2010 due to diabetes and stuff. And he, when he passed away, he was home. He lives with my sister Yvonne and George. And he was in the room, and we stood there all day because his breathing was really shallow. And he wanted to come home and just, he goes, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home with Jesus. So he was taking his last breath, and we were just there thanking Jesus, praising Jesus, like just ready for him to go into the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, he just like got this inner strength, and he spoke in tongues. Literally spoke in tongues. I'm like, oh my God, I looked up. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Like, and then after that, he just like, and he just entered into the presence of God. I've seen so much last breath in here, lots, like 20 or more that I've seen. Never, ever have I seen something like that. So he had passed. But then after, a couple of days later, God had shown me that my dad would call all his kids like just before 8:30, because 8:30 was his praying time. And just to be with God and just his prayers. And my dad died at 8:28 p.m. And that's the time that he was always entered into the presence of God. And how beautiful how the Lord is, because he loved, my dad loved Jesus. And I mean, that's all he talked about was Jesus. And he had that relationship with him. And for God to even allow him to enter his presence, and just, it says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And as he took his last breath, he just spoke in tongues and was into his presence. It was awesome. It was beautiful. Thank you guys all for your support. Thank you.
In the funeral yesterday, one of the things that just really impressed me as I listened was the commitment to this man to raise his family to love Jesus. And I'm going to be talking about that today. I want to talk to you today. If you're writing, making notes, and I hope you are, because notes are really good to take in church, because you remember more of what you write down than what you just listen to. So if you're not in that habit of doing that yet, please get in that habit. But the sermon title is Jesus is the Message. Actually, say that with me. Jesus is the Message. Jesus is the Message. And I am the Messenger. Let's try that again. Jesus is the Message. How many know Jesus is the only one that is going to help people? I know that doesn't sound very inclusive, as we live in a world that wants to talk about all these other things that are going to, you know, give you satisfaction. But as that great theologian Mick Jagger has taught us, right? What? Can you sing it for me? You know what? You know what? Can't get no satisfaction. And that's absolutely true. You cannot accept through Jesus Christ. We looked at the passage last week. You know what Paul writes? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. The gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to make you and myself whole. And here's the thing. Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to make anybody else whole. Amen. You know what? And so Jesus is the message. Say it again with me. Jesus is the message, and I am the messenger. Say it with some attitude. And I am the messenger. We went to a conference, took the staff and some interns with us and some leaders, and they said something, and it just really resonated in my spirit. So I want to say this, and it is my first point. God wants to work in you so he can work through you. God wants to work in you so he can work through you. And I want to give you a couple examples. You know what? But first, I want you to understand this. Look what John 10:10 says. John 10:10. Look what it says. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life, and life, and have it more abundantly. Somebody say more abundantly. See, let me tell you what, and there's a lot of false doctrine out there, but this thought that God doesn't bring abundant life, or that God wants you to live a life of just barely making it, that's just not in the Bible. I'm not saying that we don't have opportunities. I'm not saying that there's not times of that we need to suffer with Christ. That's absolutely true. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I'm not saying that a Christian life is just a bed of roses and there's no challenges. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, with Jesus Christ, you ought to have the joy of your life, whether you're going uphill or whether you're going downhill. And for you to understand that Christ is the one that comes to give you this, not just living, breathing, no, not that kind of life, this abundance of life, this abundance of joy, this abundance of peace. The Bible says that those who spend time with God in his presence, there is perfect peace, because that's what God provides for us. And so God is the one who provides that. Jesus Christ is the one who provides that. When a loved one, you know what, leaves, how can we be filled with joy still? Here's why. Many times, if we know that one is born again, then we know they're in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, you know what? The Bible says there's a peace that surpasses all understanding that can guard your mind and your heart. Amen. Amen. So we need to understand that Jesus provides this. Psalm 107:20 says this. 107:20. He sent his word to heal them. How do we get healed? We get healed through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that brings life to us. He's the one that brings peace to us. Look at what Jesus did as he went around. He went around doing good, and that's what he did. He healed people, not just of their physical ailments, including physical ailments, but he healed people's hearts, broken hearts. He healed them. He restored it. God is a restorer. What does God want to do? Here's what he wants to do. He wants to make you whole so then you can make other people whole. He wants to get you on fire for Christ so you can get other people on fire for Christ. He wants to put you in a position of peace and joy. He wants to fill your joy, watch this, to overflowing. Why? So that you will overflow. Come on, somebody here today. Who forgot their coffee this morning?
He wants to get you filled with joy, that there would be an overflow of joy to other people. Does that make sense to anybody? What's God's purpose? Why? What's your purpose? Why were we created? What's that about? Why were we created? We were created for relationship with God. Paul says, I don't understand why God loves us so much. I don't understand why he notices us. I don't understand it either, but I don't have to understand. I just know that it's true. And then when Adam comes and Eve comes and they break this relationship, you know what? Then Jesus comes and is willing to die on a cross. Why? Because without the blood of Jesus, we can't be restored to God. Does this make sense to somebody? But here's what I want you to catch. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He loved people, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. There's no one that Christ's blood can't save. Look at, I want you to look at guys, follow with me. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I want you to catch this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. How many ever have a promise you're believing for? And you haven't seen it yet. Raise your hand if that's your hand. Seems like, what's up, God? Well, what's your problem? Okay, well, he's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Now, how many ever been patient? The Bible says one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. How many ever have been patient and you just keep on believing for something? How many ever believing for something and it took longer than a week? It took longer than a month? It took longer than a year? But sure enough, that came through. Raise your hand to testify on the goodness of God that you've been believing for something and it didn't happen right away, but you just stayed in faith. You just stayed in trusting. You just didn't give up. You just kept consistent and sure enough, you saw it come through. Come on, somebody. Well, I don't know who this is for, but some of you are believing for something and you need to remember what God did before in your life. Amen. But specifically in this verse, he's talking about the promise of his return. And he says, hey guys, don't think that I'm not coming. And let me give you insight as why it's taking as long as it's taking. Let me tell you why that is. But he's long-suffering towards us, towards mankind, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? I love a lot of words in this passage, but you know what some of the words I like? Not willing that any. Somebody say that any. Okay. Watch this. And then he says it again and repeats it, that any should perish, but that all. How many does God want to come to repentance? All. For God so loved what? The world. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to be without him forever in eternity. All right. You say, okay, Pastor, but are you going to get to your message, which was Jesus is the answer and I am the messenger? I'm going to get to it, but I need to set up some groundwork that you understand what God's plan is, what he wants, what his desire is. Here's his desire. His desire is all the crazy people that you work with. How many work with some crazy people? How many work with some people who are not saved? Amen. How many work with some people who don't love Jesus? Okay. Here's his desire. His desire is that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? How do you know that? You can't say that. You don't know that. I do know that because God has revealed it to us. His will is that none would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what all means? All means those crazy people that you work around. Amen. And so what is the plan? Here's the plan. The plan is that God sends Jesus to die on the cross to enable us to be able to come into the knowledge of truth. Then the plan is that you are strategically planted in a place where you can minister to these people. Jesus is the message. You are the messenger. Okay. So I would humbly say to us, say, Pastor, how come I'm not that effective? Well, good question. Thank you for asking it. It goes to my first comment, which was this, or one of my first comments, which is this. God wants to work in you so that he can work through you. God wants to work in you so that he can work through you. God's desire is to work in you so that through you, others would come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. So I'm going to give you two examples. One is Peter. Peter is a great example. Turn to Acts chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, or we're reading out of the King James, if you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions. But we have it up on the screen so you can read word for word with us. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. How many know Peter was part of the all? I said, how many know Peter was part of the all? Do you know that? Do you know Peter was there? Okay, then say, yeah, I know that, Pastor. Okay, come on, stay connected with us. No falling asleep today, amen? How many know this water has dual purpose? Come on. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all in one accord. That includes Peter was right there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. How many know there was one that sat on Peter? Come on. And remember over in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he's saying, hey, guys, don't leave here until the Holy Ghost, you know what, there's a promise and it's going to happen, and I don't want you to leave until that happens. What's happening? God is working with Peter because God wants to use Peter in a crazy, radical way. You know what the Bible says? How many would believe that you're producing some fruit in your life? Raise your hand if you're producing some fruit. I didn't say a lot of fruit. I just said some. Come on, I hope you got your hands up. Some fruit. So what does the Bible say? What is God going to do now? What is God going to do now? He's going to prune you. Somebody say, prune me. Now, how many know that doesn't sound like something very good? How many of you, like, and Isabel, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for willing to share some insight as far as what was going on. What was happening? The Holy Spirit did some pruning with Isabel. Why? Because his desire is that you produce not fruit. What does he want you to produce? Not good fruit. Much fruit. Somebody say much fruit. He wants you to produce much fruit. this little crop that you're producing, God's not lying. How many know God's willing to tell you the truth? God's willing to look at you and say, what is up with that? You've been saved for 8 years and that's the harvest you got? What's up? Amen. You've been saved for 20 years? You've been saved for 30 years? You've been saved for 40 days and that's all you got? Amen. Don't allow, listen to me. Don't allow yourself to get comfortable with the things of God. For many of us, we have been saved many, 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 many years. But God still wants to use us in a mighty way. And matter of fact, those of us who've been saved for a longer time, we ought to be producing more fruit than those who have been saved for just a little while. But many times in the kingdom of God, I'm just telling you like it is, sometimes those who are producing the most fruit are those who are just barely saved. Amen. And God says, I don't want that way. I want them to be producing fruit, but I want everybody producing fruit. And I don't want you just producing fruit. I want you to produce much fruit. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to prune you. I'm going to have a willingness to say, what's up with that? Why, when you come to church, are you just like, you know what? You got half a hand up in the air and you're not even singing. What's up with that? Amen. You know, what's with all the dust in your on your Bible? What's up with that? Amen. What's up with the reality that you haven't even invited anybody to church in the last year? Nobody. Not like three. No one. What's up with that? So he's willing to work with you in order that he would work through you. And to do that, sometimes it takes some slapping around a little bit. Sometimes it takes, you know what, some pruning. And the Bible says that if we will be disciplined by God, there is a consequence that it's going to be wonderful if we'll be willing to do that. How many hear what I'm saying today? And so Peter is willing, say willing, to stay there until the falling of the Holy Spirit. They're just all in one place. Like he didn't have stuff to do. And it wasn't one day. It was a lot of days. Consistency. Well, what are they doing? They're just waiting. They're just not leaving. They're just obeying God. If we obey God, we can be used by God. And so he's waiting right there. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. He is sometimes like you. You just do great. How many ever done some great things for God? Amen. Raise your hand if you've done some great things for God. Raise your hand if in the same week you did great things for God and then you totally blew it. Okay, I got some Peters in the house. Okay, that's how Peter was. But even after Peter listen to me, even after Peter denied knowing Christ, notice Peter still is there. He picks himself up and he says, yeah, I blew it, but today's a new day. Amen. You know, who wrote that song? Today's a new day. What? Kurt Franklin. Oh, no, that's a remix. Peter wrote it eventually, you know what I mean? Originally, right. So here's the reality. The reality is God is working with Peter. God is pruning Peter. Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Amen. Amen. Peter's the one who was walking on the water. And then, watch this, and then he blows it. He starts looking at the wind. Remember this? We taught this last week. And he starts to sink. Who is the one who was there to pick him up? And who was the one, I'm asking you, who was the one that after he sank, he said to Peter, Where is your faith? Hello, is somebody here today? What I'm saying is, listen, God is, he wants to use you mightily. But to use you mightily, he's got to talk real to you and frank to you and be honest with you and say, grow up and stop doing that and stop doing this. When Megan started to drive, oh my goodness, God help me. I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't know what I was thinking. We were right here. We were right there. And she puts the car in reverse and she hits the gas. And I was like, I didn't think, oh my goodness, how stupid Megan is. You know what I thought? I thought, oh my goodness, how stupid I am. What was I thinking? I got to give her some instruction. I got to go over there. I got to be slow. I got to, you know, be patient with her. But watch this. But here's what I didn't do. I was like, ah, I think I probably screamed. I was like, And thank God, you know what? She hit the brake. She hit the brake the same way. It was like, whoa. I was like, oh, help me, God. Help us, God. And it was crazy. And then, but here's what I didn't do. I didn't say, Megan, there's this thing. Put it in park right now. Put it in park. Okay. And get out and never come back. Never, ever come back again. I didn't do that. I was a father and recognized, you know what? I need to be responsible to coach, teach, and train Megan. Because it's not her fault that she just, I mean, what would you do? That, you know, you put in, you hit the gas. She didn't understand. You hit it gently. You know what I mean? And thank God we didn't hit anything. You know what I mean? So here's my point. My point is that God is a good father. And so he has no problem. When over and over again, we'd be driving, and for some reason, the driver's side is on the left side. So I'd be in the passenger, and she would hug the right side. I mean, just like real close in the right side. I'd say, Megan, man, you're going to catch a curb pretty soon. You got to get center. I said that to her over and over and over again. Why? Not because I didn't love her, but because I did love her. My dad, you know, he's gone on to be with the Lord. What a wonderful father my father was. But he used to tell me things over and over and over again. Megan said something the other day, and she talks really fast. She's doing way better. In junior high, I didn't even know what she was talking. I used to look at her and say, Megan, are you talking English? I'm not kidding. She would say stuff, and I'd look at her like, is this a new language? I don't know what she said. You know? But she does way better. But she does way better. But she still talks fast. So she said something the other day, and I said, Megan, pronunciate your words. And when I said that, I recognized my dad had told me that probably at least 100 times. He would say, Drew, pronunciate your words. What am I exactly? That's true. But here's what I'm saying. God who loves you, he'll go over things with you. He'll go over things with you. He'll go over things with you. Peter is very, very challenging to God. Are you challenging to God? But he won't stop working with you because he wants to work through you. Are you catching what I'm saying? Okay, let me see if you're really catching what I'm saying. Why? I already told you the answer. Why? If somebody knows, raise their hand so I can pick them. Why? Why? In the back. That's right. That's right. I told you. Very good. Very good, Daniel. Why? Because you are around a bunch of people. He wants to work through you that he can work in you. Because there's all these other people that he wants to come to the knowledge of the truth. His will is that none perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he's going to work with you, and he's going to work with you, and he's going to work with you. And hopefully, you know what? You are taking three steps forward, sometimes one step back, hopefully not four steps back. Amen? Amen. Listen, guys, this is important. How many know we're running out of time? How many know we're running out of time? So, you know what? Start getting it, what God's saying right away. Start coming to church and recognize God has got a message for you. Start coming to church and recognize the message that I have today is from God to you. It's not to George, unless your name is George. Amen? I mean, you say, yeah, but it is for George. That's right. But the problem with that is if you're recognizing it's for George, you're probably not recognizing it's for you. How many know this is a problem? It's called self-righteousness. We think we're good enough. You're not good enough. There needs to be an advancement. There needs to be a progression. There needs to be, you know what? You need to recognize God needs you at a better place, at a higher place. God needs you more on fire than you are now. Amen. There's nobody here today. Say amen already. Amen. I don't know what you're going to say. That's why I made you say it to me already. There's nobody in here today that is on fire enough. There's nobody here today that can't get more on fire for Christ. There's nobody today that God says, sitting in this room, in this project, in this outdoor, beautiful, ay, ay, ay. Nobody here today that God says, I'm done with you. Because you're so established. You're so on fire. You're so perfect. No one. And I'm not saying that that's not some mighty saints of God sitting here today that are on fire for Christ. I'm not saying many of you are. You know what, God, listen to me. God, I believe this, is doing more at Hope Community Church, more at this place than he has ever done before. As far as really people getting on fire and recognizing, oh my goodness, I'm going to be held accountable to God. And I want to get my kids saved. I want to get my grandkids saved. I want to get those around me saved. I want to be example to others. And here's what happens. Peter is going to be used by God in a crazy mighty way. But the reason he is because God is going to be able to work through him because God has worked in him. God is going to be able to work through him because God has worked in him. And so, you know what, these people, you know what, Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were seated. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as on fire and sat on each one of them, including Peter. And they all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Go on, jump down to verse 12. So as they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? They don't know what's going on. It's a, you know what it is? It's a sign and it's a wonder. And people are scratching their heads and said, wonder what's going on here. We don't understand it. Watch this. Others were mocking. They were filled with, they are filled with new wine. They're saying, oh, they're just drunk. These people are just drunk. That's how they're acting. They're acting drunk. They're, you know what, which was kind of, anyway, I don't have time to go into that. Verse 14. But Peter standing up with the 11. What Peter? The same Peter that almost drowned. The same Peter that tried to get Jesus not to go to the cross. The same Peter that when Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross, whips out his knife and cuts off the guy's ear. And Jesus is like, oh my goodness. Oh, you know, picks up the ear. You know what? The 5-second rule. You know what the 5-second rule is? 5-second rule. Boom. Slaps it back on his head. Okay. Peter, what are you doing? If you don't know what the 5-second rule is, it means if you drop something on the ground, and if you pick it up within 5 seconds, you can eat it. But some of you women are like, oh, I can't believe he said that. Said that, I do that, amen. Okay, anyway, 5-second rule. So, boom, that's the same guy. In the whole process, God is working in him, is correcting him, and telling him, no, Peter, no, where, what happened? You were doing good. Where is your faith? He's not saying, where is your faith when he started to drown, to understand that God corrects those who he loves. He's not bringing correction because he doesn't love him. He's bringing correction because he was walking on the water. There's going to be times later on in his life that he needs to stay in faith and not just walk in faith for a little while. I don't know who this is for. Some of you, you stepped out in faith for 3 days, for 3 months, for 3 years. And the Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't stop. For in due season, you're going to reap a harvest if you faint not. Yeah. So he's telling Peter, what is your problem? What happened? You were doing good. What happened? Faith is just trusting God. He's saying he has willingness to look at Peter and say, Peter, why did you stop trusting me? That's all he's saying. And this Peter is the Peter that stands up on his feet. And he says, let me tell you what. And he starts to quote the prophecy of the Old Testament. He says, let me tell you what. We are not drunk. Can I tell you what? We live in a crazy world. I really, this week, I wasn't sure what I was going to preach. Because I part of me wanted to preach a sermon to, and it was a wonderful sermon. You know, I don't know, maybe I'll preach it next week. Maybe I won't. But it was a wonderful sermon talking about the importance of us voting. And not just voting, but standing up for what's right. Amen. You know what? The sermon was going to be, you know what? I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm going to tell you what to vote for. Amen. Pastor, I wish you would have preached that sermon. No. Don't wish that. Because I need to preach the sermon that God lays on my heart. That's the sermon I need to preach. I need to be led by my spirit, not by my mind. And I encourage you to vote. And stop voting for the party that your parents voted for because they voted for that party. That's so ridiculous. Some of the parties that your parents voted for don't look anything like what they are today. Amen? And you're just going, ooh, I'm going to vote for. And it's absolutely foolish because you're getting government that is totally against God. They're not like, oh, whatever. They are antagonistic towards Christianity. And they're really antagonistic towards your beliefs, especially your beliefs of sexuality. I don't get my beliefs of sexuality out of just thin air. I get them from the Word. The Bible says some things in the Word of God. And then when we get these people, because if we get these people in office and we're just like, oh, wake up and smell the roses. Wake up and recognize who they're coming for. Because them trying to shut us down, that you know what, that same thing as it always was. You know what? They beat the apostles and then they released them. The only reason they released them at that point, because they were afraid, because they didn't know how many people were for them or against them. So they released the apostles because they knew there were a lot of people who loved the apostles. But first they beat them. And then they said, stop talking about Jesus. Well, you can't not talk about Jesus that you don't talk about his ways. And so, you know what? That is completely, listen, we are on the wrong side of political correctness, church. So I don't care if you like his haircut. I don't care that you don't like, you know, some little nuance. Just look and see what the people are doing. That's what matters. And I'll give you two things to pay attention to more than any. One, pay attention to how they treat Israel, number one. And two, pay attention to how they treat those who are the most vulnerable among us. And there is no more vulnerable among us than those who are in the women's womb. There is no more vulnerable than those little babies. There is none. Amen. And one more thing, you know what? And I need to say this, and don't get confused, you know what, in vocabulary as politicians stand up and say, I am willing to protect the women's reproductive rights. Let me tell you code what that is. That's code for we want abortions to be legal all the way up to the day of birth, all the way up to that day of birth. And when they start to con you and say, no, we just want safe abortions, then you tell me why when we want to make it that there's a doctor has to be present, you're against that. Or that the abortion place has to be a certain closeness to a hospital. Why would you be against that if that's what you're for, safe abortions? It has nothing to do with that. It's a spiritual fight, and we need to stop voting for people because we like their haircut. Because we think, oh, because they wear skinny jeans. All this stupid stuff. And then they get in office and they're totally antagonistic towards the things of God. You better pay attention because you're going to be responsible for what's going on with your kids and the world that they have to live in. Amen. But watch this. Please take this in context. But, and it's hard for me to say this because I so much want you to get out there and vote for those who have godly principles. But listen to what I felt clearly the Holy Spirit was telling me this. But that's not what's the most important thing. The most important thing is that you would get on fire for Jesus Christ so that you can start getting those around you, you know what, on fire for Jesus Christ. And that as God is trying to work with you, you know what, stop resisting God. God told Paul, Saul at the time, stop kicking against goads. A goad was a sharp stick. And he's recognizing, sometimes, can I tell you the truth? Your flesh doesn't want to do what God is asking you to do. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, stop resisting what I want you to do. Just start following with me instead of against me. Stop resisting my correction. Allow me to correct you. We saw this the other day. As we were teaching on this story where they're getting in the boat, and it says this, that God commanded them to get in the boat. Jesus commands them to get in the boat. God commands you to do some stuff. And he has no problem telling you what to do. But I said last week or the week before, but understand when God tells you something to do, he doesn't. What do you think? You know, you think he picked Andrew up and put him down in that boat and said, stay here. I'm going to go get Peter. Stay here. Went, got Peter, picked him up, put him down, stay here. No, he didn't command him. He didn't forcefully do that. He just said, hey, guys, get in the boat. And he might have said it nicely. Hey, guys, get in the boat. We'll watch the tape when we get to the CD when we get to heaven. Okay. I don't know how it happened. Here's what I know, that you know what they did? They followed the commandment of God. Understand, the commandments of God are still give you the opportunity to do whatever you want to do. But don't think that you're going to reap having not sown. The Bible says that don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Stop thinking you're going to sow to unrighteousness and reap. It's like, oh, my life is going to be so great. No, it's not. No, it's not. The more God you have, the better your life is going to be. The more God you have, the better your life is going to be. The closer you get to God, the better your life is going to be. It's going to be more filled with joy, more peace. Here, just understand this. If you understand whose thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Come on, whose thoughts are higher than your thoughts? Have you ever, somebody here today, have you ever done something stupid and it just really jacked up your life, maybe for even 4 years? It's like, oh, I made a big mistake. Well, when you made that mistake, do you recognize at this point there was somebody, i.e. the Holy Spirit, going, don't do that. Hello, somebody. Come on, would somebody confess stupid things that you've done and recognize the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. Listen, I know this is true. The more God you have in your life, the better your life is going to be. And you're going to make better decisions in your life. So God is working to you, in you, to work through you. And part of him working through in you is to bring correction. Yes. Amen. Why? Because he wants you smarter than you were before. Higher. Somebody say higher. Higher. Somebody say, I can think higher. I can think higher. So God gives you the higher plan, but you got to step up to that plan. You've got to do what God asked you to do, in order, and then all of a sudden you're going to be in a higher place. You'll be like, oh, I don't understand why I'm so high now. I do, because you followed the things of God. Amen. Is that making sense? So God's working through Peter, working through Peter, working through Peter. But he's still working with Peter, and Peter is still working with God. Peter doesn't throw his hands and say, enough of this correction. I've had it. Some people, that's what they do. They just say, I've had it. You know what? Some people that used to serve God, they've had it. They don't. You know what it comes down to? They just want to do what they want to do. That's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says in Romans. What do they do? They suppress the truth. So he's going to work with Peter and with Peter and with Peter. And at some point in time, Peter, I'm telling you, Peter is fired up. Peter has stayed where he should have stayed. He's now baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's now speaking with his tongue, supernatural stuff. That's right. Oh, hallelujah for that. Amen. He's walking in the supernatural. And what does he do? Then the Holy Spirit says, go. You're up. And he's ready to be up. He's prepared to preach a sermon. And he's going to say, whoa, guys, and I need to paraphrase because of time. Whoa, guys, these guys aren't drunk. Let me tell you what happened. What happened is, you know what, in the Old Testament, you know what, there was a prophecy, and this is what's going on. God prophesied this was happening. It's happening right now in today. Now what's going on? And this can be for any of you. And he keeps on preaching, keeps on preaching. He's in the middle of a sermon, and finally they just go, oh, what must we do to be saved? Yeah. I'll just quote it because I don't have, or I'll just paraphrase it because I don't have time for you to turn to it today. There's another lady. Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. He goes to Samaria, and he meets this lady. She's at the well. And he's like, I have this water that you, if you drink of this water, you're never going to have to drink before. Well, she is like, what are you talking about? You know, you don't even have anything to grip the water with. You know, where's your, what do they call that, Tamara? Where's your ladle? Ladle. Where's your ladle, man? She's like, what are you talking about? Listen to me. Jesus is talking to us. He's got this satisfaction that nobody else can bring. And that satisfaction will cause you to be so at peace, so on fire for Christ, that on fire, that peace, just that peace. You know, people are running around crazy. They're like, COVID. Right? Yeah. You're like, Pastor, I was like that 3 weeks ago. I get it. But what I'm saying is there's a peace that surpasses understanding. In the presence of God, there's perfect peace. You know, I'm walking into Albertsons, and everybody's like, I'm like, what are you talking about? We get to work for the big A. What is he? Is he crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I'm just not depressed like you are depressed. Amen. Why? Because I don't serve a depressed God. I serve a God of all joy, the Bible says. All hope, the God of all hope. You know, joy unspeakable. There is an overflow that God wants you to get. But in order to get that, you've got to get closer to Jesus. You got to get closer to Jesus Christ. One more passage and then I'll stop. Okay, that was weak. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. There's one more passage. I'm going to stop. Okay, now most of you got one more time. One more passage and then I got to stop. All right, you talk me into it. Let's go till 1 o'clock. Okay. I'm just joking. Okay. Turn to Acts chapter 4. You're almost there. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 13. It should be underlined in your Bible. This is such a great, great, great passage. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, when they saw the what?
Boldness.
When they saw the what?
Boldness.
When they saw the what?
Boldness.
Listen to me, Christians. They are trying to get us to shut up. And you need to, and you're not going to be bold if you're not spending time with God. You're going to allow them to intimidate you. There's a bunch of political correct bullies that are running around and they're trying to get you to, you know what? I'm not saying, listen, on the mask stuff, you know what? Wear the mask, praise the Lord, love the mask. It's not, I don't want to get into a debate on mask or mask not. I'm just using this as an example. They want to put a mask on you to muffle you about Jesus, and they want that mask to stay there forever. They want our churches closed. They're trying to, I'm just telling you, they're trying to ride this thing out to the next, cold and flu season, and then boom, and then they'll have churches closed for over a year. I talk to pastors all the time, and I look them in the eye, and I say, Pastor, you're going to be held responsible. Listen, I thank God we have this beautiful building. I thank God that people were willing to step out in faith. I thank God that we don't have to lean unto our own understanding, but we can acknowledge Him, and He will show us things before we even see them. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will show you of things to come. That's what He's done. And I didn't go, oh, there's going to be this thing called COVID. I know you don't know what it means, but it's coming. I didn't know that, but here's what I did know. And a bunch of the leaders of this church, here's what we did know. We knew that we needed to start construction, even though we didn't have all the money to do it. Amen. But if we didn't have this, I guarantee you, you know what? There would be some kind of tarp that we would put to provide shade, and it would be in this whole, I don't know where area it would be. It might be out of the parking lot. I know where it would be. But we'd have chairs set up. We wouldn't continue to tell you, just watch via satellite, by home. And if you're watching by home, listen, I'm not judging anyone. Keep on watching. We have a message for you, and I want to be your pastor. And if you're at home, maybe you're older, whatever the case is, I'm not here to judge you. But I am here to say, you know what, to recognize, we're not ignorant to Satan devices. You think that they're not coming after us? That's exactly what the goal is. Same as it was in Acts, to shut you up. So why are these guys so bold? You know, they had, at this point in time, at this point in time, they were already persecuting the church. That's for sure. Oh, well, I know this. Do I know that? Had they stoned Stephen yet? No. Sure? No. Okay, no. Persecution had come to the church. And they were at the precipice, at the precipice of some major leaders being stoned and killed and beheaded. Hello. And crucified. And these two stand up and they've got boldness. Why are they bold? Let me tell you why they're bold. Because they've been around Jesus. See, God wants to work in you that he can work through you. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, my message is simple today. You know what? It was my first point and it is my last point. And here is my point. God wants to work in you so that he can work through you. Amen. And he's calling you to get closer to Jesus. Because the closer you get to Jesus, you know what? You're going to be at the bank and you're going to go, I don't know about all this, but here's what I do know. If the Holy Spirit asks you to turn around in line and say, I don't know about all this, but here's what I do know. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's coming back soon. And if you haven't made him Lord of your life, you know what? I'll go over there right there at that table, and I'll lead you to Jesus Christ. Amen. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you, like the Holy Spirit spoke to Marilyn when she's in line at the grocery store, and a lady who was stealing was in front of her, and the Holy Spirit tells Marilyn to confront her and say, you don't need to do this. Would you say that? Because my thought is, I can know whether you would say that or whether you wouldn't. And you know what it all depends on? Had you been with Jesus or have you been neglecting your time with Jesus? Because if you're spending time with Jesus, you're going to be bold like Jesus was bold. Why? Because you're going to implement the things that are the person who you're close to. Do you know this is true?
Yeah.
You're like, Pastor, I don't cuss. Well, get around somebody who says the F word all the time. I'm not saying that you cuss, but I'm saying that, you know. Hello? All of a sudden you're like, oh man, what the? Like, where did that come? I know where that came from. That come from here, hanging out with that goofball all the time, who says those words all the time. And next thing you know, it's out of your mouth. Amen. Am I speaking to somebody? Does somebody recognize? Here, let me give you the word on it. Some of you look at me like a dog in a new pan. You're like, I don't think that's true. Let me give you the word on it. The Bible says, you know what? Bad company corrupts good morals. Corrupts your morals. They were good, but now you're cussing. Now you're all kind of crazy stuff. Why? Because the same in the negative, the same in the positive. Yeah. Hanging out with Jesus all the time, seeing Jesus bold to do this, bold to do that. How many know Jesus stopped a funeral one time, raised the kid from the dead? Yeah. Amen. Jesus was bold. How come these guys are so bold? Because they recognize. You know what? Oh my goodness, they got their strength from Jesus. You're not the sun, you're the moon. Amen? Somebody's like, I'm not the sun, I'm the moon. What's he talking about? The moon has light, but no power, illumination. That's the word. The moon has no illumination of itself. All that happens is the moon, you go, whoa, look at that. You can see it sometimes if it's a half moon or something. You can see it's, oh my goodness, because you see the other side. You see it's just reflecting the sun. You know what Marilyn did? Marilyn told that lady, hey, I don't want to embarrass you, but you don't have to do this. The lady got all nervous. She's like, let's get out of line. Let's talk. They both got out of line, and Marilyn had an opportunity to minister Jesus Christ to her. Say, Pastor, I'd never do that. I'm not trying to be confrontational. If you say, I'd never do that, then you need to spend more time with God. Because God doesn't need us. He hasn't given us the spirit, watch this, of timidity. So the Bible says. We haven't been given that spirit. So why are we so tentative? Why are we so timid? I tell you why. Because we haven't been around. Why were they bold? Why were they bold? Because they recognize, oh my goodness, these guys act like Jesus. Simple message. I have one more thing to ask you, and then we'll stop. Think about right now the person in your life who has inspired you to be most like Jesus. You don't have to name that person. I just want you to think about who has influenced you to be most like Jesus. You can answer this. Raise your hand if you're grateful for them. Every hand. Watch this. God wants you to be that person to somebody else. Whoever that person is. Think about who that person is for a minute. Imagine if all of us were like that person. I'm just, look around. Would we need more chairs out there? Could we be like what was prophesied over us? That these people are going to be like, there's going to be so many people, it's going to be like ants. Somebody prophesied and told us. Oh, I totally believe that. And I totally believe that one of the reasons that is because of this message. Because all we need is more God. The more God we have, the less timid we be. We're not going to allow bullies to keep our mouth shut. We're just not going there. We're going to a place, and it's a big place, and it's a better place. God prophetically told me one time, we have it written, maybe I'll get it for you, that what's going to happen in this church is God is going to use, I don't want to misquote it, but I think he said God is going to use just regular Joes. You know the truth is? That's how I see myself. I don't really see myself as having very many, you know, I see other people. I just see myself as a regular Joe. But you know who was a regular Joe? Peter was a regular Joe. Where'd they find Peter? Where'd they find John? From the you know what, the you know, Jewish university? No. These guys were fishermen. Just regular people. We're going to do two things. I want to pray for you as far as what God has spoken to you in this message. But before we do this, we'll do it quickly. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, maybe you're at home watching this, or maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. All you have to do is ask him in your heart. The Bible says that anybody who knocks, the door will be open. And he'll come into you. Jesus said, and he'll come into your heart. It's not a hard thing to do. It's the best decision that I ever made in my life. And I'm asking you to make that decision. I'm asking you not to postpone it for tomorrow. Satan can get you to postpone it tomorrow. He can probably get you to postpone it for the next day and the next day and the next day. And he's got you. But be sensitive to what God is saying to you right now. Pray it with me. Jesus, come in my heart right now. I'm asking you, change me from the inside out. I don't want to live my own life on my own anymore. I need you for everything. Make me a Christian. I want to be born again today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, we believe that you got born again right now. Tamara and I want to be your pastors. We ask you, start coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday. You know what? Give us a year and let us start to parent you spiritually and grow you up in the things of God. It'll be a blessing. I want to be your pastor. And it'd be a blessing and honor if you're going to allow me to do that. And you'll look back in a year from now and you'll say, man, I'm so glad I made that decision. Now, for everybody else, if you need more of Jesus in your life, this message was to you, and you say, I wouldn't be bold if God asked me to do that. And you know God spoke to you. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray right now. Father, you see the hands that are up. Father, we thank you that you haven't given us a spirit of fear. You haven't given us a spirit of timidity, but you gave us a spirit of boldness. May we spend more time with you than we've ever spent before. And as we draw close to you, you've promised to draw close to us. We thank you there's nothing that we won't say. There's nothing that we won't, if God tells us to shut up, there's nothing that we will say. We want to be completely directed by you to say something or not to say something. But we thank you that we will be led by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.